quick introduction to today's episode with my guest, Elliot Hulse, and becoming the strongest version of yourself. Elliot Hulse is an internationally renowned strength and conditioning coach, but is probably better known for his holistic life coaching that he does with guys and girls all over the planet. Elliot is someone that holds a very special place in my heart because I first came across his videos, particularly his self-help and motivational videos, when I was still working full-time as a primary school teacher in London. And I knew I had this dream of going into fitness, and I just didn't know how to do it. And I had a lot of fears, a lot of issues with my own insecurities of what will people think if I go off the normal path. And Elliot's videos largely gave me that permission that I felt I needed in order to live my message and do the thing that I knew I needed to do. So he'll always and forever hold a special place because of what he gave me. And I was fortunate in 2015 to have actually worked with him directly in his non-job seminar. And my business has 100x'd since then because of the information and the knowledge that he was able to provide me. I was doing pretty well at that time in 2015, but I was struggling to join up some dots from A to Z. And I went to that seminar, and that was my turning point. I remember, I spoke about this briefly in the episode, that I was hovering over the pay now button. I think it was about €2,000 at the time to go to the three-day seminar. And I was hovering over the pay now button, and I was like, man, this is all the money I have in my account right now. And I was getting more money that was going to be coming in that week. But I remember at the time, it was off the back of having came back from the WBFF World in Las Vegas. And I was kind of knew that this was an investment I had to make, but I really didn't want to spend that money. And it was life changing. Like, it literally, things exploded from the moment I got back with some of the tips and advice that I learned. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And in today's episode, we jump into a little bit of everything from Elliot's current training and nutrition to things like holosync meditation that he does, his introduction into yoga and why he's doing that now, microfasting and using that as a bridge to intermittent fasting, which is something that I've been experimenting with myself ever since January when I started to prepare for Marathon de Sable, 6 back-to-back marathons in the Sahara, because I knew I was going to be without food while I was there. I did a lot of my runs and a lot of my longer runs fasted in the morning and have been doing time-restricted eating for probably about a year to condition my body to function better with less food. But microfasting was my bridge to that. So using certain ingredients like branched-chain amino acids, for example, or MCT oil in between meals to bridge the gap and actually transition over from a normal 3 or 6 meals a day to microfasting. And it's something that I've really enjoyed, and I will stick. I'm continuing to do it while I train to run through the Arctic Circle next year. We speak about sex energy and being a real man, which is an area that Elliot is really passionate about right now. About 30 minutes in, we get talking about bioenergetics and grounding and sexual energy and Carl Jung and the neuroses that we all have and carry with us and how it manifests in our body. So it gets really deep at that stage. Like, I was transfixed when Elliot was talking about Osho active meditations and what kind of things he does at his grounding camp. He spoke about some of his favorite books, and a quote that I loved was, "Every wound is a womb." So we spoke about the time he tore his bicep tendon and how you choose to interject a perspective on anything is really what it's about, that you can use every wound in your life as a womb to grow something new, and how his business strength camp came off the back of that. So we jump back and forth. A lot of questions that I got to fire at Elliot, because it's one of these situations that I had a lot of things I wanted to ask him, so I was able to throw a lot of questions at him. So I hope you enjoy the format today. For those of you who've been following for a while and know Elliot, have been following his videos, you're going to love this, because he just provides value and speaks in a very calm tone and is very well able to articulate his ideas on whatever topic he's talking about. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with him, hopefully you get a lot of value with the things we talked about mind-body connection, meditation, yoga, microfasting, and a little bit of the esoteric stuff. So a little bit of a change of direction today, but I hope you enjoy it. Definitely off the back of John Joseph last week when we talked about LSD and getting fucked up and running Ironmans. It's a change of pace with Elliot today. So I really hope you're enjoying the different interviews of people that I've been able to get on. And it's going to continue going forward. I have some amazing guests coming up. So stay tuned for those. School of Calisthenics, Natalie Lennon is on, Lane Norton, and a couple of people in between with random shows and a couple of Q&As that I've done. So I hope you're enjoying the new format. And without further ado, I'll introduce to you today's guest, Elliot Hulse.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and health to help you with your goals. I am so excited today to have one of my guests whose name you've probably heard a million times on the podcast, Elliot Hulse. Elliot is an internationally renowned strength and conditioning coach, strongman, author, social media celebrity, mentor, holistic life coach, and inspiration to millions of people all around the world, myself included. Sharing his message, being the strongest version of yourself, and inspiring others, and with his 2.5 million viewers through his YouTube channel, Strength Camp, he has made himself a name for unifying the development of the body and the mind. As I mentioned in the solo introduction, Elliot has been one of my biggest inspirations over the past several years, and I owe him a debt of gratitude for everything he's done for me. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Elliot, I've talked a little bit in the description about your background, but can you tell everybody a little bit more about yourself?
Oh, well, I guess what's most relevant is that I began my fitness journey at the age of 4. Really, my uncle lived with us on Long Island, New York, my mom's brother, and he was a black belt in Kung Fu, and he was a gymnast, he ran marathons. And then when I was 4 years old, he was still doing martial arts, and he would teach me and my brother how to work out. We were doing push-ups and sit-ups and punching bags and being beasts when we were just kids. It had a deep impact on me. So when I was in school, I was always the strongest, the fastest, and I liked to exercise. I thought it was so cool. And my uncle would do things like backflips and chopping bricks. So it was really like my inspiration at a very young age. 10 years later, when I turned 14, when I was becoming a teenager, he got into bodybuilding. I started playing football, and he taught me how to lift weights to get bigger and stronger. And so, you know, as the story goes, I played college football, I studied strength and conditioning, and then ultimately ended up starting my own fitness boot camp business in the park back in like 2007 called Strength Camp. And I would train people in the park, and that slowly evolved into where now we have an 8,000 square foot gym in St. Petersburg. We've got 25 other Strength Camp ambassadors. These are other fitness entrepreneurs that want to have their own Strength Camp gyms. And along the way, I became famous on YouTube for making strength training videos.
Yeah, I think the first time I came across your video, just to give you a little bit of context, and I've spoken in the introduction about your non-jobs seminar, how it was the catalyst for all the amazing things that have happened for me over the last several years. But I was working full-time as an elementary school teacher when I first came across your videos, and to say that they impacted me would be the biggest understatement of my life, because you've done fitness videos, and that's how I think I got into it first, because you had done videos on getting jacked, inmates getting jacked, and all these awesome titles for, you know, get, you know, absolutely ripped and sexy in 3 weeks or whatever it was. And then I really started to go down the rabbit hole of your mindset stuff. And what did that transition look like for you? Because that's what I came into first was the fitness. And then you really have helped. And again, I'm speaking for thousands and probably millions and millions of people that your videos have impacted our lives in a positive way. How did the transition from fitness to mindset to what you're doing now, which is kind of everything in between, what did that transition look like?
I can't say it was a transition. It was always the case because I would train mostly young men in my gym. It was football players and young athletes. And when the sessions would end, they would always have questions for me about school, about their parents, about girlfriends and stuff like that. And so the sessions were like half strength training. And then the other half, while we were just, you know, waiting for other clients to come, was more like life coaching for young men. And I really enjoyed that just as much. When I became well known for strength training on YouTube, I realized that I was getting the same kind of questions from young men all around the world. So I created a second channel where I started doling out advice on life matters.
Because I remember, man, it must have been one of your first videos. I think you were doing some review on like BSN protein or something like that. And just to give people context on some recent video titles, Let Go of Your Fears, Let Out Your Demons, and Know Your Sexual Market Value are a couple of your recent videos. There, everything that you've talked about in between, is there any particular area that you feel most fulfilled when you talk to people about? I know it's largely with, you know, younger men. Again, a lot of females follow you too, Elliot. When I told them I was talking to you, there's a load of girls who are like, oh, I follow his YouTube. Is there any particular area that you feel more fulfilled in when you're working with somebody? Is it the mindset side? Is it the physical transformation, becoming stronger? What gives you the most satisfaction?
I don't really see them as separate things. I like to say become the strongest version of yourself, which means, of course, you want to be physically fit, you know, posture, strength, core, all these things, nutrition. But I also have a saying that the body is the mind. And I started to recognize that when I was helping people with their fitness, they would also evolve mentally and spiritually. They became stronger versions of themselves. So I like all that stuff equally.
Talk to me about ego suicide. Something that you've discussed recently that really resonated with me. Can you tell me a little bit about that for everybody listening? Because I think there's a lot of value in that area.
Well, when someone comes to a gym and they're looking to hire a coach, really what they're wanting is to transcend themselves. They don't want to be who they are any longer. Either they're too fat, too skinny, or whatever the case may be. And that's where it began. Began for me in terms of like helping people. Ask the question one more time. Sorry.
So ego suicide.
Ego suicide. Yeah. So when someone's looking to transcend themselves, they're really looking to be someone else, and that means that you've got to die to who you are today to be who you want to be tomorrow. You know, a lot of times, you know, in terms of government, they like to say reform. You know, and reform means nothing more than sprinkling some shit on some sugar on the shit. It's like it's still shit, but you're trying to make it a little sweeter. And so I guess the government's a reflection of us, and we try to do the same thing, like reform ourselves, you know, make little changes here and there. But really what ultimately ends up happening is you die to a weaker version of yourself, and that means mind and body, and you introduce a brand new you. But the only way that new you can be introduced is if you let go of the old paradigm that got you to where you were to begin with. So ego death, when I say that, it really means die to your weaker self, be reborn as your stronger self.
And just to give people a bit of context on this, because I, from consuming so much of your stuff, I kind of know the direction you're going to go with on this. But what advice do you offer people to do that? How does it look?
Well, it really depends on the person.
Is it in training? Is it through meditation? Just how does that look for if somebody comes to you and are like, look, I need to be a stronger version of myself. Elliot, what do I do?
Well, you can approach it from multiple different angles. But every transformation is a fourfold transformation. It's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. And of course, we live on the physical plane. We see things physically with our eyes. So it's easy to begin there, you know. So for example, Jordan Peterson likes to say, clean your room, you know, but by cleaning your room, yes, you're changing your physical environment, but at the same time, now you feel different, you know, so your emotions are going to be evolving. And when you feel different, you're thinking differently, and you're really thinking in more congruence with who you really are, your spiritual essence. So you can come from the physical and change yourself. If you think of it as like, you know, a clock, you know, you could, the physical would be at like the fourth quarter. You could start in the fourth quarter of the clock and work yourself backwards, you know, by physically changing your life, you're spiritually changing your life because you're no longer the same person. But then we could also come from the other end of the spectrum by embracing silence, stillness, meditating, and being available to receive inspiration, and then taking that and mentally in using the mind to transform the way we feel about things, you know, using affirmations, visualization, using the power of the mind to get over weak emotions. And by doing so, you physically change. You change your body because you'll walk different, you'll talk different, you'll engage in different activities. The people around you will be a different set of people. So really, when I say the body is the mind, and when I say spirit, mind, emotions, it's all one thing, and we can come at it from any angle.
Which brings me into my next question, because you mentioned a couple of things there, physically, mentally meditating, etc. What does the start of your day look like, Elliot? Do you have any morning routine or any foundation pillars of your day that you do nearly every single day that you're home?
My two favorite ways to start the day are, number one, with meditation, and you know, like right now I'm big on my meditation. But then there'll be times where I decide I want to walk. I want to get physically activated for the day. So it's going to be one of those two things. I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning, and it's either going to be meditation or it's going to be a 1 hour walk around my neighborhood, and then starting my day from there.
What kind of meditation do you do?
Right now, I've gone back to the good old tried and true Holosync that I've used for over a decade, which is basically brain frequencies, binaural beats. Science has shown that we're so much more than the physical body, and that we can change our mind, our brain, by introducing it to different frequencies. You know, so the waking frequency is very different than the sleeping frequency. When I say frequency, meaning like just the rhythm of thought, the way you breathe, the sensations in your body. So Holosync basically puts you into a meditative state without having to do it. It's kind of like the lazy man's way to meditation.
Yeah, I've used binaural beats. I've actually used them to meditate in the evenings before bed. I can't remember the frequency, if it's beta frequency, but they're great for introduction to meditation if you struggle to just calm your mind, because you don't really have to focus on anything. The beats nearly do it for you.
Yep.
When you go on your walks, are you still listening to audiobooks?
Yeah, I'll either listen to audiobooks, or now, back when I made that video where I gave the advice to walk and listen to books, I was podcasts weren't really a big thing. So now I listen to podcasts sometimes also too.
Yeah, for those listening, I think I was living in London at the time working as a teacher when I seen that video about audiobooks, and I like downloaded the Audible app like directly after. So I've got, I don't know, about 600 books in my Audible library now. It's crazy because of the way to consume it. Do you have any favorite podcasts that you listen to regularly?
Lately I've been really enjoying Jesse Lee Peterson's radio show. I'll listen to Ron Paul. They're mostly personal development, political kind of things that I enjoy.
And when do you train then? Because you're obviously still very consistent with your training. What time of the day do you train? Do you have a specific time? And what's your routine look like now?
Well, I combined yoga and strength training. So I'll typically do yoga mid-morning. And then I'll do my lifting in the evening after the kids come home from school.
Do you still rotate between hypertrophy, strength training? I know you've got videos up on online. Do you still consistently just rotate like the seasons in terms of training, or are you primarily based around yoga at the minute?
Over the past 4 years, yoga has really taken the foundation of my programming, mainly due to, there are lots of reasons why I got into yoga, but the reason why I sticked with it, a big part of the reason why I stuck with it, is because I was getting injuries. I was a pro strongman. I beat myself up pretty bad for many years. So yoga was a way to allow me to continue exercising in a very therapeutic way while healing from a bicep tear and Achilles tendon tear. So that really is the foundation of my new training. But I realized after doing just yoga that it wasn't enough. You know, I'm a lifter. I've always been a lifter. So now it's a matter of, you know, yoga is a daily thing, and I'll lift, you know, up to 3 times, 4 times a week.
Talk me through the bicep tear, because if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong and misremembering, but a lot of your personal development, that something you've obviously always been into, but in terms of channeling it into a business to serve more people, am I right in saying that it came off the back of that bicep tear? I remember seeing a video where, I can't remember, but you talked about turning negatives into positives and how you tore your bicep and then your mindset shifted to more important things. Can you talk us through that time in your life and the bicep tear?
Well, there's an incredible book called Iron John by Robert Bly. And amongst the a million different beautiful, amazing things that he teaches in that book about men, it's called Iron John, A Book About Men. And it really is the journey of being a man based on mythology and religion and psychology. It's amazing. One of the things he says in the book is that every wound is a womb. And that wounds are an opportunity for us to check ourselves. And it essentially is an opportunity for us to die to an old version of ourselves. Because, you know, if the body is suffering, so are the emotions and the mind and the spirit. So when it comes to allowing wounds to be wombs, it's a paradigm. It's a way of thinking about it and realizing that, okay, I'm healing now, and in this healing phase, I get to let go of old ego constraints. You know, the first time I tore both biceps. The first bicep I tore was I was a professional strongman, and I was going into my next professional show, and I was really wrapped up in winning and kicking people's asses, and I was even using anabolics at the time. And when I tore my bicep, I instantly knew that it was God telling me, okay, Elliot, time to go into the womb again. Time to die to this. This is not what your best, this is not in your best interest to keep trying to win trophies. It's not in your best interest to keep lifting and using supplements this way. So I allowed that to be an opportunity to hang that uniform up, hang that version of myself up, and then reinvigorate and reinvent myself.
You mentioned that book, and I'm going to link it up in the show notes. Is there any other books that you've read or listened to or consumed that shifted your paradigm in a similar way or shifted a paradigm in some other way of thinking? Is there any other books that come to mind when I say that?
Oh, there are plenty. But when it comes to, you know, staying in the same genre of content and thinking, Robert Bly also was highly influenced and worked a lot with a neo-Jungian analyst and professor by the name of Robert Moore. And Robert Moore, once again, using mythology, I really love mythology because it tells our story in symbols, has a book called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, which is about what Carl Jung described as the quadrated psyche. He basically described each person's personality consists of four parts: thinking, feeling, being, and doing. And what Robert Moore did was he used that model of the quadrated psyche, but transposed it upon the male psyche. And so within every man, there's a king, there's that sovereign quality, that being quality, warrior, magician, and lover also.
They're two that I haven't read. I'm literally scribbling them down here. I'm like, 100%. As soon as this is over, I'm going into Audible to check them out. To take a little bit of a different direction away from books, we talked about your training. What does your nutrition look like currently?
I do and have always been at my best by eating more of a paleolithic type diet. So mostly meats and vegetables, higher fat and protein, carbohydrates, and mostly in the form of vegetables. I've got to be really careful with carbohydrates because I tend to get puffy from them. And so that's me. I know people who, you know, they're vegan and, you know, I guess they're doing all right. I know guys that eat a different balance of food than I do, and I guess they're doing okay. But I just know from personal experience that for me to look, feel, think, and be my best, it's following something closer to a paleo diet.
And do you still do regular bouts of either day fast or intermittent fasting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, intermittent fasting. Yesterday I fasted. Many mornings I'll fast, 16-hour fast. Fasting has so many medicinal properties. It's amazing how the body can heal itself if just given space, given room.
Yeah, something that you, it was actually you that introduced me to this. I did 6 back-to-back marathons in the Sahara Desert in April. And in January, I started experimenting with intermittent fasting. But I was struggling and I came across one of your videos about micro fasting. Do you still use micro fasting? And if so, or even if not, can you tell people a little bit about that? Where you
I
use,
don't.
Okay.
But I think it's good. I think it's cool, but I don't. But it's basically where you're fasting, but rather than not eating at all, you eliminate the micronutrients from your diet, which we know are fats, proteins, carbohydrates, essentially, and take them in their micro form. So you're supplementing with amino acids and fatty acids instead.
Yeah, that really helped me. And I know there's a lot of people listening that intermittent fasting, it's been something that's been around for years. I've had Ori Hofmeckler on the podcast and he's been talking about it for, the past probably 20 years now. And it's got so much value for people. But for those that struggle to get into it, I'll link up that video on microfasting that really helped me because it just kind of bridged that gap between full-fledged intermittent fasting and your regular way of eating. So many of your videos, as I've mentioned, have impacted my life in a positive way. Like some have made me see the world in a different light. Your How Not to Give a Fuck, where you talked about just doing your thing and how birds sing because that's what fucking birds do. And I'll link that in the show notes because that was life changing for me at 25. And your video, Why Prison Inmates Are So Muscular, made me think differently about human physiology. But do you have a favorite video of yours that you've done?
I don't. I really have to think about that. I created most of my videos between 2012 and 2014. And since then, I've been intermittently making videos on and off. You know, I was healing from some injuries and, really dying and being reborn. I've evolved. So when I watch those videos, it's almost like I'm watching someone else. And sometimes when I watch them, there are so many of them that I'm quite frankly impressed. Like I look and I'm like, wow, I'm like, no wonder why everybody likes that guy. I was pretty good, even though I don't relate to that version of myself any longer, meaning that's not me any longer. It's me, but I'm not the same way. I'm not making the same videos. I always look back and I'm like, wow, I was pretty good at making videos.
That's for sure. It was because of, and actually out of a personal curiosity, one of the things I loved about your videos so much was you never knew what direction they were going to go. Did you ever pre-plan them or was it press record and just see where it went?
It's funny because when I was really banging out the videos, I never pre-planned anything. I just turn on the camera, look for a question and start rolling. It was when I stopped making videos when I realized I was needing to start thinking about them and I was looking for content. And so I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. because it just felt like rehashed stuff. I felt like I was doing what everybody else was doing. So that was a part of the reason why I stopped making videos. I realized that I need to – those videos were great because I was speaking from my own experience at that age, you know, who I was. And I don't want to say I ran out of experiences, but I did. And so it was a matter of going back to having new experiences so that I could come back in a new way and have new insights to offer.
From having spoke to you one-to-one through your non-jobs and speaking to you now and having followed your content for so long, I seem to get that personality, type A personality trait of where you get very obsessed in a positive way on a particular topic or a particular thing, where you're making videos and it's like bang, 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 bang video, or you're into yoga and it's like, right, I'm going to throw myself into this. What are you obsessed with right now?
Well, right now I've been working with a lot of entrepreneurs, helping other fitness entrepreneurs open their own gyms or start their own fitness training businesses. So we've been licensing Strength Camp. We're building up to a franchise. And I've been spending the past few months learning more about how to be a better coach to coaches.
That, and again, is something that I'm sure has evolved massively since even the non-jobs mastermind in 2015. As I said, the thing that was the catalyst for me. And I've even mentioned, it's funny, I released a free ebook there a couple of weeks ago on how to move your business online. And I've referenced your seminar in it that I remember hovering over the pay now button. I can't remember what it was, but it was like a couple of thousand or whatever it was at the time. And I hovered because it was all I had. And I'm like, that money has came back to me 50, 100 times with the information I got at that conference and at that mastermind. So we'll talk on the end of this because you're running one in Holland and Amsterdam in November, and I highly recommend any trainers go and attend it. But what's the biggest mistakes you see fitness entrepreneurs make? Or is there any one or two mistakes that you see people make regularly?
Well, it comes from two ends of the spectrum. There are either those that are really into fitness, they're really into health, but they really suffer as entrepreneurs because they either don't know or don't like to market themselves. And so that's a stumbling block. And then the other stumbling block comes from the guys who, you know, they really want to make money and they learn the marketing and they get really, you know, there are so many Facebook ads out there for guys teaching you how to be fitness marketers, but then they stumble because the service suffers. They're not actually really good coaches. So, you know, they end up getting clients, but not able to sustain a business.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you taught me was to always over-deliver. And I can't remember at what stage of it was the couple of days in London, but I remember at one stage thinking, oh my God, I would have paid 10 times what I paid for the information I'm getting. And that's something that I've brought back to my business and try and do to this day. I think it's something that when people learn how to market themselves and always providing that extra value, it's so important. One of the things I'm curious about, because of all the incredible advice that you've given me and so many other people, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Maybe it was from my dad. You know, my dad he's always given really good advice, and it's very simple what he said, and it really got me to where I've created some momentum in my business, in my life. And it's simply get up every day and do what you have to do, whether you feel like it or not. You know, so it's a matter of just overcoming weak emotions, setting your mind on what you're to accomplish. And then no matter what, you just do it.
How do you goal set? Do you work off daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals? How do you generally reverse engineer your goal setting?
I do best when I just can work like a robot, when I just know what I need to do every single day. So the goal setting is more a matter of visioneering, being able to see where I want to go, who I want to be, and then having a structured plan for execution. And it's just, I think this is human nature, but the more monotonous it is, the faster the momentum is for me. So for example, when I really created that momentum on YouTube, it was because I was making videos every day. My rhythm, my heartbeat, which I call the two things that you just choose to do and you always do, was to make a video and to write an email to my email list. And so the goal was to build up my YouTube channel and to be an online publisher. And so that consistency of activity allowed me to create the momentum.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for anybody listening, that momentum begets momentum. Like when you get started and you get moving, it's a significantly easier, like it's a lot easier to go from, you know, 1 to 100 than it is to go from 0 to 1. With that, when you mentioned your dad and the great piece of advice he gave you, but when you think of the word successful, besides a family member, who's the first person to come to mind and why?
Well, the first fitness coach, strength coach that I modeled was a guy that I worked for named John DeFlorio. And, you know, he owned his own business and it was incredible. That was my dream. And I worked for him and I followed his lead in many ways. And he showed me that it's possible to have a fitness business. And then from there, he introduced me to his mentor, who was Paul Check. And so I would put the two of them kind of together.
Yeah, I actually got introduced to Paul Check's work through you. I actually have his book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. It's just, funny enough, just right here in front of me, just by randomness. What, apart from the business side, because they're obviously big into the fitness and health side, was there any shift of thinking? Because you obviously went from strongman, you've kind of played around with bodybuilding, hypertrophy training because of the aesthetic way that you even look. And I know your body puts on muscle easily. But is there something in your training or even in nutrition that you've changed your mind about over the last few years, that if I had talked to you this time 15 years ago, you're like, nah, fucking way, that's terrible. Where you're like, no, actually, this is really serving me right now. Is there anything like that that jumps to mind?
The only thing that's new and different was yoga.
Did you ever experiment with yoga when you were doing strongman?
No.
Did you stretch?
Yeah, I always encourage, because, you know, I'm a Paul Check student, so I always did my corrective stretches and mobilization and structure work. So that had been really helpful. But then I think I took a yoga class. It looked cool, and I was like, oh, that looks like, you know, it's body weight exercise, but it also is integrative because you're focused on breath and you're focused on circular movement. Like, you know, the things that we do in the gym is usually very angular. You know, we press straight ahead, press straight up, squat up and down. Everything we do is very sagittal. Where when I saw people doing yoga, I was like, wow, that's that would increase my kinesthetic awareness by introducing me to new circular movements.
Do you find that, is it the, because yoga is something I've just started to experiment with myself for kind of similar reasons, years of bodybuilding, playing sport, you get that tightness. Do you find that it's the physical benefit of yoga that you like, or do you find that you get a form of like spiritual connection with it as well, where your mind just disconnects, or is it purely a physical thing for you?
Well, like I said earlier in our talk, the body is the mind. And so when I was a strong man, I was physically a strong man. I mean, I walk in the room and people are like, there's that big hunk of a man, just big, beastly strong man. So I carried myself that way. I thought that way. I behaved that way. And then when I just look at it this way, the link between the body and the mind is the breath. And so as a strong man, I was doing everything with a Valsalva maneuver, a very, you know, I'm holding my breath and I'm creating a lot of pressure intra-abdominal pressure and throwing things. And so yoga was very different, where rather than the movements being explosive and I'm creating pressure within my organs, all the movements are coordinated with long, slow, deep, full breathing. And so that has a calming effect on the mind as well.
Yes, yeah, so, because something that I've seen, and again, on top of so many things that you've introduced me to, is that of bioenergetics in general. And you've made a massive investment and deeply studied the fields of bioenergetic grounding and Osho active meditations over the past few years. And I know you started a project called Grounding Camp in 2016. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how you teach people to let go of tension in their body and discover their true self by expressing emotional blockages?
Well, so bioenergetic analysis comes from the work of Alexander Lowen. What you need to know about Alexander Lowen is that he was a patient and a student of Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich, what you ought to know, is that he was a student of Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychology. Sigmund Freud did an incredible job of bringing psychology into the mainstream and medicalizing it. And, you know, he deserves a lot of credit. But he also had some brilliant students, two of which, if you think of Freud as a moderate, like in the middle, he had two students that went on the two ends of the spectrum. So before, when I talked about their spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, and physical, I mentioned also Carl Jung. Carl Jung was very spiritual, and that's where like a lot of the mythology stuff comes in, and the King, Warrior, Magician stuff comes in, and mapping the psyche comes in. Very, very idealistic, very up in the clouds, if you will. You know, spiritual. They're ideas. They're, and so that's on one far end of the spectrum. He had a falling out with Freud because he was just too spiritual. They called him mystics. You know, they said he was mysticism, and so they ignored him. But on the way other end of the spectrum was Wilhelm Reich. And you hear a lot less about Wilhelm Reich because he was far more dangerous to the establishment because he was all about the body and about sex, sex energy, chi, but what he called orgone energy. The reason he called it orgone energy is because it's about sex. It's about sex energy. And a lot of this stuff is well practice and documented in the East, but in the West, it was very, especially in Victorian Austria, it was very taboo. And he was kicked out of the analytic society, and it was, you know, during Nazi Germany, and he ended up coming to America. And well, a part of what he taught and how he came to his form of therapy, which now we refer to as Neo-Reichian therapies, was he was healing people psychologically and emotionally, but not by talking to them, not by using symbols and dream analysis like Carl Jung. What he was doing was he discovered that when he was analyzing his clients, they would speak about traumatic experiences, or they'd be talking about their dreams, or be talking about their parents. But he began to notice like weird movements in their body. Maybe they furrow their brow when they mention something. Maybe they would clench their jaw. Maybe they would tighten their feet. Maybe they'd squirm a little bit. And he began to recognize that all these old traumatic experiences came up mentally, verbally, they talk about it, but it also had a physical effect on them. And so each one of these physical inhibitions or quirks or posture ways of holding themselves all had the subconscious, what we're trying to do subconsciously when we have those physical twitches is to reduce our ability to breathe deep. Breathing puts us in touch with our emotions and our feelings, and when we hold our breath, we don't feel. So his evolved therapy began by just teaching people how to breathe deeply, and he was healing people from their psychological pain. Their lives would change by simply teaching them how to breathe. And slowly but surely, the physical postures that they would hold, their inhibited breathing, all these things would resolve over time. And then they would think differently. They would be different. What Alexander Lowen, his student, did was he took it to the next level because, number one, that's weird stuff. And it's stuff that even today people it's considered, even though it's well documented and he was a mad scientist, he's a brilliant man. The FDA actually burned all of his books and put him in prison because it's scary stuff and it's liberating stuff. It's sexual stuff. And so he stopped. He was like, you know what? I got kicked out of the analytical society. I'm healing people. He's healing people all over the place. But the FDA shut him down and they shamed him. They had him destroy his laboratories and burn all his books. So he had a student that was really into what he was doing and had tremendous results from the Reichian therapy. And he took it one step further by really recognizing that, and Reich did this also too, but Alexander Lowen really popularized it, that each one of the psychological neuroses, the predispositions, like schizoid, oral, masochist, phallic narcissist, psychopath, all of these terms were not just, they didn't just manifest themselves in a way a person behaved, but it manifests themselves in their physical character, what he called character structure. And so you can look at someone, and that's why I call it bioenergetic analysis. You could look at someone and see in their posture, in how they carry themselves, even in their voice and the look in their eye, which one of these categories they would fall into. And so Lowen took it one step further by teaching people how to physically exercise out the holding patterns that keep them physically stuck in these postures that perpetuate their character, their way of being. So bioenergetics is a breathing and movement therapy that breaks you free from the neurotic holding patterns that are associated with trauma. And we've come a long way. A lot of what I'm talking about right now is very scientific. It sounds crazy, but it's very scientific. And the scientific and psychological community is using it in trauma release therapies. And they're healing veterans and stuff by teaching them how to breathe and move and release physical holding that traps them in their traumas.
Yeah, I think as soon as you mentioned sexual energy, you'll have everyone's ears perk up to do with bioenergetics. Talk me through the grounding camp, because you're doing Yo Elliott and you're doing grounding camp in London. What does the grounding camp day look like?
Well, grounding camp is like group exercise. It's like group bioenergetics. And so another great influence on me, and also a huge influence, someone who was hugely influenced by Reich also too, is a man named Osho. He's an Indian mystic. And you know, these guys are all about meditation. And what Osho taught was that meditation wasn't just mental. Meditation was physical, and that you needed to get rid of the physical neuroses, the holding patterns, the tension in the body, for someone to actually reach stillness. And so he devised a series of what he called active meditations, where you go through a process of breathing and movement in a group setting. So it's like group exercise, but it's very physical. I mean, it gets you in shape. You lose weight doing this stuff. But also brings you back into your original state, into your stillness. And so at Grounding Camp, that's what we do. We do a lot of Osho active meditations, and then we experiment with some bioenergetic exercises where we confront our emotions, you know. One of the exercises that guys love is the yes-no exercise. And it's really where we get to act out our inhibitions when it comes to setting up boundaries. Like a lot of us have a hard time saying no. We just can't say no. And when you can embody the boundary of no by practicing with someone, by shouting no and feeling the no and really asserting yourself, you get to practice, you get to let go of the inhibition for that time being in an exercise that's safe. And you really get to experience a different part of yourself. You know, we live in a world where men have, and we are progressively becoming more and more feminized. And we lose our aggression. We lose it through the foods that we're eating, because there are lots of toxins in our foods that reduce our testosterone. We lose our aggression through socialization in school and media. We're taught how to be soft. And so at Grounding Camp, when we do things like this, men say things like, for the first time, like, I never felt my inner warrior this way. I never felt so powerful and assertive. And so what I'm hoping to do is wake these kinds of things up in men.
I love it. That, again, it's something that I think so many guys that are listening, and again, a lot of girls are listening too, who are like, oh, my guy needs that. But it's such an important message to get across. And I think the way that you are, the way that you look, because for anyone that, nearly everybody listening, you'll have seen Elliot, he's fucking jacked. Like, and it embodies the masculine man. And to be able to kind of connect with your emotional side and be able to use things like the grounding camp to show your superior man as well. I think it's so important. And I think you've got that balance so right, Elliot. Can you, at the end of the show, and I'll be linking it all up in the show notes for everybody, and I'm very conscious of your time, and I just got a couple of more questions, and I'll be linking up the grounding camp. You're doing it with the Yo Elliot Live as well? They're running back-to-back days, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I don't get to cross the pond too often. And so I figure, you know, I'm going to be, and that's why I'm doing a non-job thing there also too. So I figure while I'm in Europe, let me do a little bit of everything that I do, because I might not be back for a while. So the Yo Elliot event is really a live experience of what people know me for most on YouTube, which is just answering questions. You know, I love to be there to provide insight and wisdom to guys that are struggling in some area of their life. I'm not a therapist. I don't have all the answers, but I have a lot of wisdom and I have a lot of compassion. So that's what the Yo Elliot event is about on day one. And then on day two, we really get physical about it. We get into it with the bioenergetics and active meditation at grounding camp.
I love it. Do you, and I know you've probably, in terms of answering this on a video, but have you had a favorite question that you've got recently?
No, not really. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy answering questions, but you know, they can come from, like I said before, we're quadrated. There are four parts of us. We're spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. And then and it shows up in Carl Jung's work, the being, thinking, feeling, being, thinking, feeling, and doing. So anything that relates to any four of those, which all relate to being a stronger version of ourselves, I love to talk about.
I love it. The last question, Elliot, before I give everybody all the information on London and Amsterdam. If something happened to you today and for some unforeseen circumstance, you aren't around anymore, what message would you pass on to your kids?
Well, you know, I hope to instill in my children a sense of their own creativity and their own power and their own gifts. You know, we're coming into a time where, and we live in a culture where the individual is important and we're no longer just cogs in a system. You know, everything has been industrialized, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, really, where, you know, everyone's taught to be the same. And where, while there's great value in that, so that we understand one another and we can cohabitate in a well-functioning society, it also has its down part, and it keeps us locked in emotional and mental prisons that don't allow us to explore and express our individual greatness. So I've got four children, and it is my my goal to allow them each to discover their own gifts and know that it's good for them to explore that and to maximize it, not just for themselves, but it's kind of like our responsibility to be our strongest selves. Because whether you be an artist or a musician or an entrepreneur or a CEO, you're serving people. And so as we become our brightest light, we shine that light for others to wake up.
I think I'm so happy that that was the question that I'm going to finish it on, because that's so powerful, that following your internal compass, becoming the strongest version of yourself, and going after that. Elliot, I can't thank you enough, and I've said it numerous times and I'll say it a million times in my head between now and when this episode goes out in a week. But tell everybody a little bit about the upcoming events in London, Amsterdam, where you're going to be when you're across the pond. And I'll link everything in the show notes, but tell everybody just a little bit about the upcoming events.
Well, the Yo Elliot and Grounding Camp event, it's one event where I'm, you know, hoping to kill two birds with one stone. So when you sign up for one, you're also signing up for the other. It's 2 days. And it's the 10th and 11th. I believe it's the 10th and 11th.
Yeah, 10th and 11th of November is what I got here in front of me, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll be in London. We'll be doing that. And then I'm going to fly over to Amsterdam, meet up with one of my entrepreneur friends who is a genius when it comes to building online and online businesses and just being an entrepreneur in general. And so I believe from the 14th through the 16th, we're doing a mastermind in Amsterdam.
And there's a limit on that. I think there's only, is it because there's only 17 places and it's going to be selling out pretty quickly even when this episode goes out. Am I right in saying that that's capped at 17 people?
Yeah, and we've got about 6 spots left.
Yeah, and I'm given firsthand, again, the Grounding Camp and Yo Elliot Live, they're going to be amazing events because I know how much Elliot provides, how much value he provides to people. But as speaking to someone that's been through the non-jobs and been there, I cannot recommend it enough. Elliot, I can't thank you enough for your time. I can't thank you enough for all that you do. Thanks so much for joining us and providing all that value. And just thank you for everything that you do.
You got it, Brian. It's my pleasure.
Quick message before you head off. Just letting you know my best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is now available on Audible and all major audiobook apps. If you're like me and love listening to books while you travel or work out, be sure to go to audible.co.uk or audible.com to check out the audio version of The Fitness Mindset. You can listen to a 3-minute sample on there, or you can download the full book. Also, last thing before you leave, if you try Clean Cut Meals, the sponsors of today's episode, be sure to enter the code BKF at the checkout to get your 20% off your first order. Clean Cut Meals are doing all my food for my next adventure challenge coming early next year. I'll be announcing more about that during next month's podcast, and I'm just waiting actually on medical clearance. Ugh, yikes. So stay tuned for that, and remember, code BKF at the checkout for 20% off your first order. Catch you all next week.